Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Mangione. I'm joined today by Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
Janine, how are you?
Oh, I could be better, but it could be worse, I guess.
We could all be worse.
I guess.
What's ailing you?
I got a big old throbbing headache in this big old throbbing full episode.
Did you not hydrate today?
I'm hydrating like crazy, Mike, and I had caffeine and an Aleve. So, you know, it's just the gods. The gods are mad at me again.
I have headaches all the time, and it's because I hold all of the tension of the world in my shoulders and neck.
Interesting.
Yeah, I went for a massage recently, as I do, and the masseuse said, and I quote, "Your back is all fucked up."
Whoa, that's unprofessional.
Yeah. this guy's great, though. He gets in there and does surgery.
I'm going to take a reco on that. I don't know. It's all hormonal for me. I can track it with my cycles, and like really? Sometimes this, like, I know that I'm getting a headache now, but in a week it's gonna be even worse.
Really?
And that's what happens. Like, I just know it. And I went to the doctor for it just to make sure it wasn't like a brain tumor or anything. And I even had a CAT scan. It's all good.
Yeah.
But she just said, like, you know, in my 30s when I had kids that were young, I used to get headaches all the time too, and I never got them before. And then they went away.
Is it the kids? Is it their fault?
Yeah, it's the stress. And she said, then they went away when I got older. She's
nice.
Like, they'll probably go away for you too. I was like, okay, well, good.
That's something to look forward to.
What's it?
Well, welcome to a full episode of Pop Culture Man Children.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is America's favorite podcast about...
it's just America. Full stop. It's America's favorite podcast.
Exactly. Pop culture, ephemera, non-toxic fandom, movies, TV. That's basically it.
That's yeah.
You know. No, but we do your odd. We do everything but music, really.
Well, I mean, occasionally we'll dip our toe into the world of music.
Yes.
But you're not like a music head, I wouldn't say.
No, I was born without it.
You were born without music.
I was born without
ears.
The ability to consume music.
Okay.
Like I see other humans doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll never just listen to music.
No.
Just so now.
I'd rather drive in silence.
Pre-podcast, were you never just listening to music in the car?
Sometimes, yeah. But I really don't have any music taste.
Album. Okay.
I have no music taste.
Interesting.
It's just whatever is kind of like new and around.
I'll sounds like a thing.
As refined as my taste is in cinema, you have
zero taste. Oh, that's interesting.
And so does my brother, Anthony. We both were born without music.
That's not true. No. Anthony sends me Spotify links all the time. And it's like the trashiest
trash
you've ever heard in your life.
Yeah.
You know?
So this is a fully. So that means we're going to do news. And I got some nice stories for us.
Oh, good.
We're going to do Trailer Corner.
Okay.
We're going to do Chill Session.
Yeah.
And then we're going to Obsess. Okay. Oh, sorry. No, we're going to confess our current obsessions.
Okay. I'm going to confess about what we're obsessing.
Yes.
Got it.
So do you want to start with the news?
I want to start with the news.
Some of our news is a little... this is some spooky news, and we are in spooky season officially.
Spooky news.
We're recording
So it's
on
news.
Yes. Huey Lewis in the news.
Oh, no.
Let's see. So, today is the first day of fall?
Today is officially the first day of fall.
I always think of my birthday.
Can't you feel your power growing? That's what this headache is. It's my power headache.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's all of my fall power entering my body. It hurts a little, but it's worth it.
Sure. No, I understand. So, this is a story from Deadline. George A. Romero's final zombie movie.
It's like he's dead.
He is dead. he is absolutely dead.
But he's still
dead.
Making movies.
His final zombie movie, Twilight of the Dead, is moving ahead with Roundtable Entertainment. And a new director.
Wow.
So George Romero's final zombie movie, Twilight of the Dead, got fresh impetus when producer financier Roundtable Entertainment planned a late 2023 start date in Puerto Rico.
Oh.
Who's the director? Horror icon Romero had written a treatment for the movie before he passed away in 2017. And regarded Twilight of the Dead as a conclusion to his epic saga.
Wow.
Which compromised 6 movies and various spin-offs and remakes. Mm-hmm. I always think of them as 2 trilogies. Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead. And then later on, Land of the Dead, Survival of the Dead.
Yeah.
And Diary of the Dead.
Diary of the Dead.
The only one I don't like is Diary of the Dead.
Yeah, I don't like
Diary. Because it's...
But even in Diary...
It's just a shitty...
Like found footage.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even in Diary, they're doing interesting things. Like not many, but a few. Like there's some shots where I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like when the zombies in the pool, I liked that.
I don't remember it enough.
I thought that was cool. Yeah, it's not very memorable, but they're like holed up in a house.
Yeah. I liked Land a lot. I think Land is very good.
Land is good, and it got star power.
Yeah, like Land John is very good.
Leguizamo's in it. Dennis Hopper's in it.
Yeah.
There's some people in
it. And it's the first time in the series anyone says the word zombie.
Really?
And Dennis Hopper says it, and he says it like the N-word.
Oh.
He says, zombie. Like, he like, disdainful. And survival
the hero
is good.
Zombie in Land of the Dead is also a personal
Yes, fight. Yes, yeah. yes. The zombies start to communicate and fight for themselves in that movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the cool thing is there was always a progression. The last one he made, Survival of the Dead, was like a Western. Mm. But I think that one ended with zombies eating fresh food.
Oh,
so that
like just biting into an apple.
Yeah, so I think that was the step there.
Okay,
of like maybe they just are going to be us now. But
you have a favorite?
Day of the Dead, the third one is my favorite.
Oh, really?
That's the one with Bubs.
With Bubs, yeah.
The talking.
I like Dawn. I like the original Dawn. But Night is probably my favorite. I really
Night
like
is
Night.
Really good. Yeah. Night is fantastic. Yeah, probably. Yeah, definitely Day. I'm not the hugest fan of the original Dawn. I know everyone loves the original Dawn so much. I find it meanders a lot.
Yeah, but I think if you hadn't... So, because the Zack Snyder one, right, like it was very popular at the time.
Right.
I think if you've never seen that, not that you're a Zack Snyder fan, you're like, well, I prefer that one.
Yeah, you think he's horrible.
The concept is just so cool. And I think on concept alone, it's just like a fun idea because I think you start fantasizing about like, well, what would I do in this situation? And I think a lot of people would go to the mall and then you sort of see that play out. But then, of course, there's the commercialism aspect.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, he's
always
doing like haves and haves not, have nots.
Yeah, there's always some social thing he's saying with all of the movies.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
All right.
A actual bear spotted in Disney World.
This was so funny. I was making country bear jokes all day.
Prompts closure.
I was like, in Frontierland.
The memes of like him on rides and stuff.
Oh my God.
Prompts closure in parts of Magic Kingdom.
Could get the little bear out of there.
A bear that prompted partial closures at Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom on Monday was captured without incident and is being relocated, according to a news release from Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Good.
In most cases, it is best for bears to be given space and to move along on their own. But given the situation,
I'd say so.
It really wanted a dole whip. staff had captured the animal and are relocating the bear to Universal. Take that shit. no, they're relocating it to like a park or something lame. Yeah, this is crazy.
It's so wild. Like, how the hell did it get in?
Nearly a dozen attractions were closed on Monday at the time the authorities were located. Can you imagine you're there with your kids?
You spend all your money.
You're spending out your ass. This is the American dream. You got your kids there, and here comes a bear.
This is a fucking stupid bear.
I would really think it's a really high tech walk around character.
Yeah.
I'd be like, everything here is magic.
Right. Look at this magic bear. Let's go touch it.
Certainly a bear couldn't just come in here. And I don't know how it got in.
They better be careful because they have all this, they keep debuting all these like Boston Dynamics robot technology that it's going to be like a real Judy Hopps in the park, like real Spider-Man flying through the air. It's like, this is a real bear. You know, it's a country bear or it's Winnie the Pooh. It's just some bear running around.
Yeah.
It's Baloo.
Yeah. At 11:17, the attraction Swiss Family Treehouse.
Shut up.
I think it's, by the way, it's a real stretch calling that an attraction. Magic Carpets of Aladdin and Jungle Cruise, Enchanted Tiki Room, Pirates of the Caribbean, Country Jamboree, Tom Sawyer Island, and Walt Disney World Railroad, Liberty Square Riverboat, Hall of Presidents, and Haunted Mansion. Boo. They closed the Haunted Mansion for this bear. That would upset me. We're closed to the public, according to an official app. So what do they do, though? They close the rides. You think they get them in the rides. Get out of the way.
Get in the rides. Get off the street.
What do they do with the people?
Everybody in the ride.
It was not clear if the closures or how many were related to the bear sighting. I mean, if it's Haunted Mansion, it could be just any old fucking day. That thing, the last time I was on it, it broke for like 30 minutes. Jeez. I was like stuck in one spot.
Oh, yeah. It always shuts down.
Yeah. CNN has reached out to Disney for more details. I thought it was just CNN reached out to the bear.
Reached out to the bear for comment.
He's saying nothing. For more details about specific closures, but has not heard back yet. In an earlier statement, Disney said, "We are working with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission and have made a decision to reopen Frontierland, Liberty Square, and Adventureland Magic Park." All right.
Oh, what's it's an adventure. It's a bear.
Yeah. It's a,
what are you
it's
paying a bear. For?
The pictures of like the bear on Splash Mountain. Oh my God. Just the memes. The memes
delightful.
Galore.
Well, I'm glad no one was hurt and the bear is fine, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's a happy ending. For our bear. So, moving on. Let's see. Studio Ghibli was sold to Nippon TV.
Okay.
Director Hayao Miyazaki's studio has been sold. The move is meant to financially secure Ghibli's artistic and creative independence for years to come. Studio Ghibli, the animation studio co-founded by famed director Hayao Miyazaki, has been sold. According to the Associated Press, I should say, this is from Gizmodo. The last one was from CNN, and the first story was from Deadline. Got to give credit. Got to source my, you know.
Check your sources.
Yeah. So Studio Ghibli, animation studio co-founded by Hayao Miyazaki, has been sold. According to the AP, the studio will become a subsidiary of Nippon Television Network Corp. This deal was reportedly discussed last year when producer Toshio Tsuyuki approached a Nippon TV executive with an effort to preserve Ghibli as its two creatives age and begin to think about... Oh, sorry. As the two creatives in charge begin to think about retirement. I'm going to say, good for you not selling it to Disney.
Yeah.
I bet Disney would have bought it.
I'm sure Disney would have bought it. I mean, Disney, didn't they have distribution rights for a little while?
Yeah, they distributed...
and now Max has Ponyo, it, or WB, or whatever it is.
Yeah. And yeah, they distributed stuff, and they did, actually, they produced some of the... English dubs in the early 2000s.
Oh, okay.
And in the Japan Pavilion at Epcot, there were some Ghibli stuff.
They still have it as of last year, as of last fall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah, like the Cat Bus in the Japan store and stuff.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Good for them for not fucking. But there's a new one coming out. There's a new movie coming out.
Miyazaki hasn't directed.
He retires every 5 days
in
though.
A while. Has he done one? Because the last one I remember was The Wind Rises was his last one.
I think the new one's directed by him.
Oh, that. I would be very interested to see that.
Let me see. Studio. What's your favorite? I haven't seen them all, so it's hard to say, but what's your favorite?
I would have said Howl's or Spirited Away, but now I think it's My Neighbor Totoro.
I find My Neighbor Totoro very relaxing.
It's very relaxing.
And it's very, very chill vibes. But it's more of a chill vibes mood than it is like an actual story for me.
It's a slow movie, right? And but
very
not
slow.
In a bad way. And what I found was so interesting was watched it, was like, oh, it's cool, I like it, it's cute. And then I watched it with my kids, like after I had children.
Yeah.
And I completely fell in love with it. I was surprised by how much they liked it. Even the 3-year-old
oh, really?
Was like transfixed. It's such a what I realize now is that it so brilliantly captures the experience of like being in a new place as children and like
yes.
a transitional period in your life, because their mother is in the hospital.
Yes.
They've moved to a new place. They're starting a new school, and like the magic of a new old house, like the uncertainty of, you know, their position in life at this moment, you know, being independent kids.
Yeah.
Like being sort of like out in the wild and getting to do what you want. Like I, and they, and the kids loved it. They loved the movie. I was shocked because it's so, I'm like, oh, this is kind of boring.
Yeah.
And they absolutely loved it.
It sucks that when HBO Max became Max, they lost the Studio Ghibli stuff.
They did?
Yeah, I believe they did.
Oh, have we watched it on Max?
That and Criteria they lost as well.
We have, since it became Max. Maybe they still have some of the Studio Ghibli stuff, because we've...
They used to have a Studio Ghibli, like,
yeah, like a little, like, widget for it. Yeah, and we watched it a little while ago with them, and then we watched it again recently, since it's been Max.
Oh, maybe. Maybe I'm totally wrong.
Or maybe they will lose
it. As I say all the time, this is not really news.
So fact check, people. Fact check.
Yeah, the new movie is directed by Miyazaki, The Boy and the Heron.
Ooh, okay.
My favorite is definitely Spirited Away.
Yeah, it's great. It's just great.
It's incredible.
It's great.
It's totally
incredible. I love Howl's. Howl's, like, you know what, like, Spirited Away, I think, is a better movie, but Howl's just, like, has a piece of my heart. Yeah, like, yeah, I just love it.
I think Howl's, you showed me Howl's. I think it was the first one I saw.
Okay.
Or, well, maybe Ponyo was the first one I saw.
Ponyo kind of stinks, but the kids love that one, too. Just not as much as Totoro, which I thought they'd like it more because it's, like, more things are happening. But they love the chill vibe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's corporate news. You know, it's kind of spin to say, like, this will help protect it, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know, who knows what the fuck this TV corporation is going to do with it. But
Kiki's is kind of fun.
You know, I've never seen it.
It's pretty fun.
She's a witch, right?
She's a witch, yeah.
That's fun.
She makes deliveries.
Yeah.
Does her thing.
So, you know, good for... I don't know. Good for Miyazaki. I don't know.
I guess. Yeah.
Maybe he's really retiring this time.
I mean, he's old. He's an old dude.
What's funny is he's so, for a man who's spent his life making beautiful children's art, he is very unhappy. Mm. He's a very depressed man.
Oh my God.
Have you ever seen the video of, like, it's like Miyazaki and a few other people, and then there's like these young animators that they're doing like 3D animation, and they come, I guess, to like present it, like to do a presentation. And this is probably from like the early 2000s or something. I might be wrong with the date, but they come and they show, like, you know, the stuff you can do with 3D animation. And then, like, what do you think? And Miyazaki's like, I'm very depressed. He's basically like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I want to die because of what you just showed me. And these young guys are like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. Isao Miyazaki's being just, you just tore the heart out of your hero.
Oh my God.
He wasn't even mad. He was just like, well, you've killed animation. Way to go. Which is incredible. It's an incredible video to watch.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's fun stuff.
Oh my God. Poor Miyazaki. Yeah. Well, I hope he finds happiness.
He's a dour man. He's a dour man.
That's interesting. It's like when you meet a comedian and you realize how sad they are, right?
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, right, right.
He makes joy. He himself is very sad. But there's also something
charming about that.
About being like Maurice Sendak. Yeah, yeah.
He was a cranky old bastard.
So all his joy is on the page. He leaves none for himself. He was
like, I don't like children.
He's like, I honestly but I don't like hate people.
And I like them better than people. So, I mean, I can relate. People are the worst. So we have one more news story. This is straight from the desk of Jennifer Grace Luttrell.
Oh?
She asked me to make this a news story.
Okay.
She said, please use your platform to get this information out. it turns out the 90s film One Fine Day is not available in the United States of America to stream anywhere.
Okay.
Illegally either. We tried like Internet Archive, which sometimes has like rips, nothing. There's no way to stream the Michelle Pfeiffer, George Clooney motion picture rom-com, One Fine Day. We were going to watch it the other day. She was very excited to watch it. She'd seen some from TikTok that was like cozy fall movies. And she was like, oh yeah, One Fine Day. Let's watch One Fine Day. And it's nowhere.
Huh.
It's nowhere. We searched high and low And then we were going to try to watch something else. And there was a moment of silence. And then she was just like, why aren't you furious? She was outraged.
Oh, my God.
So she was like, you need to use your platform to get this information out.
Yeah.
So there's the news for you. One Fine Day, nowhere to be found.
Wow.
I think we ordered a DVD of it. It should come in 7 months. I don't know. I saw the movie once. I remember thinking it was cute. I don't know why it has absolutely no representation in the world at all.
I think my mom bought a bootleg of it. You know, she would always come home with stacks of bootlegs.
Sure, yeah.
The bootleg guy would come into the office.
Oh, yeah.
Put out his wares, and all the travel agents would gather around.
I love a bootleg person because you could always haggle with them.
Oh yeah, you could sass them, haggle them. Say, well, I'm not buying any of these. I'll buy five.
Yeah, five for $5. Let's do it.
Let's come on, make me a deal.
Yeah,
she'd come home with all kinds of random crap.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
And she'd be like, "Would you like any of these? I love this. I have my Ever After bootleg still."
Did you have a bootleg as a kid that was like cherished, like your cherished bootleg?
Yeah, yeah. I had Ever After was one of them. Cherished. Absolutely loved it. Yeah, I kept a bunch of them. I still have a bunch downstairs.
My episode one bootleg was cherished.
Oh, okay.
I watched that so many times.
Yeah.
So many times.
Yeah. Still, like, you still remember like when the guy's going to get
yes,
up
exactly.
And walk across
like
the screen.
Still when I watch it now, I'll remember things from the bootleg. Like, oh, yeah. That's when they all yawned or whatever.
I had like, or she would get me the things before they came out.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then I'd keep the bootleg also. So like I'd have the
sure.
the real VHS, but I'd also have the bootleg.
Well, it taps into something that's actually very popular now with the internet, which is like reaction videos.
Yeah.
Like now we love watching people react to things. Mm-hmm. Like at the time you kind of like at the time you thought of the good bootlegs as like when they would go to an early show and there'd be no audience and they would be able to sit somewhere and get a nice
be real quiet.
Yeah, like good view of it. And it's not warped in any way. Like they're sitting in like the very back in the middle. But the ones that had crowds that would like cheer and stuff, like it was fun.
Those are fun.
Yeah.
You felt like you were a part of something.
Bootlegs.
Those were the days.
You kids don't know. So, I'm glad that I was able to put that out there.
Okay.
One Fine Day. Thoughts? One Fine Day?
I don't remember it, honestly. Is that the one that had Because You Loved Me as the song by Celine Dion?
Oh, I don't know.
It was something with Michelle Pfeiffer. Or maybe it was like
I know the song One Fine Day is in it quite a bunch.
Okay, maybe it's not that one then. Because they would always, you know, I love those music videos where they'd have the singer singing the song, but then there was also the clips from the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, the 90s was great. It's basically an extended meet cute. They meet. It's one day, mm-hmm. right? They meet.
Oh, it was both up close and personal. Michelle Pfeiffer and Robert Redford. That was it.
No,
okay,
no.
Okay,
this
okay.
is this is George Clooney. This Got is the Clooney.
Clooney. Clooney. Clumsy Clooney.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the trailer corner.
All right, let's do. Oh, I see. Okay, okay.
One
Look at them. That's like the cover of You've Got Mail also.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's so weird. Which is a perfect fall film. Even though they go through all the seasons.
Yeah.
They end in spring, I think.
Yeah, another one on that list was First Wives Club, and we watched that last night.
First
and I was
Wives
like,
Club's so good.
I was like, it is cozy. I'm not sure if it's a fall cozy movie, but it's certainly a cozy movie.
It's a great one. I love that movie.
Yeah, well, I love any Dan Hedaya vehicle.
It is a Dan Hedaya vehicle,
isn't I love
it?
Any Dan Hedaya vehicle. And we were watching it, and then I forget where we were streaming it, and then right after, like, you know how, like, they'll stream something else? Like, you want to watch this? And they put on Clueless, and she was like, oh, wow, Clueless. And then we were like, what do they have in common? And then Jen's like, Dan Hedaya is what they have in common.
Wow.
You want a Hedaya double feature for your Friday night?
Wow.
Yeah.
I always loved how he pronounced Loretta on Cheers.
Yeah, yeah.
Loretta.
That's a guy who has to shave 6 times a day.
He really does.
Ugh. Anyway, he's
fantastic. He's a 5 o'clock shadow at all times.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got like a what do you call it, face? Like a Fred Flintstone face.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a Homer.
Yeah.
So let's go to Trailer Corner.
Okay. Okay.
Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Okay. I didn't see the first Aquaman.
I did.
Okay, what'd you think?
I didn't hate it.
It just looks like a big dumb movie.
Yeah, it was a big dumb movie. I remember liking some of its production design.
Yeah.
Some of it reminded me of The Flash Gordon movie.
Okay.
I was like, this is fun and stupid.
Yeah, I like movies like that. It's popcorn movies.
Yeah. And I think Jason Momoa is charming enough as a leading man. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting to me because it was like, this is sort of, it's like the remains of on a carcass. It's like, we were told that the Zack Snyderverse is ending and that James Gunn is coming in to reboot DC and do a whole different thing. And then The Flash came out and they were like, we're going to put it out. And they kind of made like this was the end. They didn't release Batgirl. And now like there's this, which is like, even if you try to put some campaign behind it, we all know that this is the remains of a failed larger project.
Yeah.
And Blue Beetle, I don't know if Blue Beetle fit into this or the new, or I don't know where the Blue Beetle
fits. Is it, if it's like from the past
Or the new, I have no idea. Version.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, this also looks like a dumb movie. I think it's shitty that Amber Heard,
she's like barely in the trailer.
She was recast.
Yeah, because I was gonna say like Mira's barely in it. I know that character from the first one, right? Like was a main character. Mira is her name. Amber Heard's character.
Yeah, what's her who plays her now? It's not Amber Heard. Because you know.
It's like I'm a father and a husband. But like you see like red hair for a moment, like sitting on a picnic blanket, and then like at the end you see like a redheaded person like banging against glass. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh wait, no, Amber Heard is in it.
Wait,
am I looking at the right? Yeah, okay, no, it says Amber Heard is. I thought she was recast. Maybe they just cut her.
I feel like they cut her a lot. It looks like they drastically diminished her role.
Ben Affleck is Bruce Wayne. Wow, Ben Affleck has played Batman maybe more than anyone else.
It's so wild.
And he's just a big shoulder shrug as Batman.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate him as Batman, but he's he hasn't had his own Batman movie.
Which is crazy.
He's just in.
And he won't ever.
No, I guess not.
Boy. No.
It's so strange to me, like, they'll make Batman films, like the Robert Pattinson one, but it's not part of that at all.
Right, and Joker's not part of anything. Like,
right.
I mean, it's kind of cool that they're not like Marvel in the idea that everything has to fit.
Because they're suffering now.
Oh, yeah. Marvel is just like...
They're really suffering.
It all just...
They collapsed.
It all is just the same. It's all the same.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the trailer for Dream Scenario, which looks, I think, really good.
So cool. Like, what is happening? I mean, we were talking about how it's like a Michelle Gondry, Charlie Kaufman joint, but it's not.
Right. It's an A24.
It's an A24, film. Like quirky horror.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's what they're known for. I feel like they're Focus didn't really do horrors, but I feel like they're the new Focus features.
I don't know. See, it's funny. I didn't think of this as a horror when I saw
the trailer.
It's
a comedy horror.
Interesting.
There's some sinister vibe. I shouldn't call it a horror. I actually agree. I don't think it's a horror, but there's something sinister about it.
Yeah, it seems like it's slightly inspired by like a creepypasta thing, with like multiple people dreaming about the same person. Thing.
Yeah, I like these types of stories, and we so rarely see it in film that I'm always like absolutely delighted when I see it, and it's like very real fantasy. Like there's something fantastical happening here.
So tell us what's happening.
So
we can get from the trailer.
Basically, it opens with a very surreal image of like some kind of disaster occurring in like a classroom or in a school, and you see a very calm Nicolas Cage, balding, like in a sweater with glasses. He's walking through this like disaster as it's happening, and he's staring at the person whose POV it is, like who's experiencing it. And then we've come to find like this person, Nicolas Cage, is just like a regular, like sort of fuddy-duddy professor. And people are having dreams about him, and many people are experiencing dreams about him. People who don't know him are having dreams where he's in them, and he's not doing anything.
What's the term they use? Like significant nobody or something like that? Like it's really interesting.
Yeah. that he's just like a dude, some guy
who's just in, and in some dreams he's doing stuff, in some dreams he's not.
Yeah, because there's that one that really like scared me, but it was also funny.
Yeah,
where he's like running into the room all crazy. Yeah. So normally, like, you'll see, so throughout the trailer, you see these clips of people's dreams, and like strange things are happening, and then there he is. He's just in the dream. And so he's getting a lot of attention because he's been in everybody's dreams, and he's making jokes with people. It's like
a celebrity.
Oh, I'll see you in your dream tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope I've been behaving in your dreams. And the woman was like, you have not been.
Oh, boy.
So you can tell, like, he's now on morning shows or podcasts, and you can tell he's liking the attention.
Yeah.
Like, he seems, you know, lifted by it.
Because he's just a nobody.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But then towards the end of the trailer, it seems like it's starting to turn.
Yeah. It's you see more scary dreams.
Yeah.
And it looks like people like...
people are like in support groups.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That people are having nightmares.
Yeah.
And that people have vandalized his car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it looks like someone is dressed like him. Like maybe there's like a stalker situation happening.
See, when I saw it, I thought, oh, people dressing like him for Halloween.
Oh, maybe. I thought maybe it's like someone obsessed with him.
Well, that's possible too.
I would imagine it would become very easy. It would be very easy to become obsessed with someone who's in your dream every night. Yeah. Right? And who you know is a real person out there. Yeah. Maybe you want to make it stop.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested in this movie.
Yeah, I'm very interested too. And I think the thing that, more than the clever plot, the thing that really grabbed me was Nicolas Cage.
Looks so, he's doing a great job.
As like a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
And he's such an over-the-top actor, and he does, you know, I mean, his last movie was Dracula. Like he does like insane over-the-top things, but it's such a flex because it's like it looks like he's playing a normal, boring guy, but like so well.
Yeah.
And I actually think it looks good on him. Like, obviously, like he wears a hairpiece and he tries to look younger, like any movie star.
Yeah.
But like him just with like a sweater and like bald head, I'm like, you know what? You look fine. This is what
I think
should...
he looks good bald with a beard.
This is what you should be. Yeah. This is what you should really be. I know his father was an academic. I wonder if he's basing it a little bit on that.
It's giving me adaptation vibes.
For sure. Yeah.
He's good when he wants to be. You know, he's wacky when he wants to be. He's good.
Yeah. I don't think he ever phones it in. Even the shitty, like.
He's as big or as small as the performance requires, I guess.
Yeah. And I like him not as a heavy.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scene in this trailer where the daughter's like, yeah, a lot of people know you. And he's like, what, you think I'm a cool dad? You're and like, she's like, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
But he's like a dork. And it's like.
He's pulling it off.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
well, at the last little clip is so good. He's like, of course not. And he's like stumbling over his words.
Yeah.
He's so convincingly uncomfortable. Horrible, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. His performance is what drew me in.
Yeah.
And, he's got an incredible career because really he just does what he fucking wants.
He just wants. Yeah.
I just watched the video. Well, I've been watching all the Harry Potters again because Alamo's been playing them all.
Oh, okay.
And tomorrow it's over. Tomorrow's the second Deathly Hallows.
Yeah.
It's been quite a journey for 8 weeks.
I'm sorry you had to watch the first Deathly Hallows recently.
I like it.
I just.
The only one I don't like is Goblet of Fire. But I still like. I mean, Goblet of Fire sucks, but then the whole end piece.
Yeah. It's
where
fun.
Voldemort comes back is pretty awesome.
Well, it's not fun, but it's sad. Like the My Boy stuff I thought was very effective.
Yeah.
I complain about Deathly Hallows 1 because it's such a cash grab. It feels so full of nothing at certain points.
To me, it feels like Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, okay. Where there's like moments where they're just like in the Sarlacc.
I also like that it allows the second movie to be just action. The second movie just fucking goes.
It goes.
It just goes, daddy. But you've read the books and I haven't.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you have different expectations.
You know what I held off? So I was a Potterhead from like moment one. The second it appeared in a Scholastic, you know, the little tissue paper.
What is that, 1996?
Yeah. As soon as it came to our shores, I first edition paperback, Sorcerer's Stone.
Right.
Like I got it right away. Fell in love with it. Got the next two and then waited for, you know, I think a couple years for Goblet to come out. And then I was just like, boom, boom, boom. And then I didn't read Deathly Hallows for probably like 7 years. I didn't read it till the movie came out.
You saw the movie first or you read it first?
I read it first because I was like, well, I have to read it. Like, I can't see this movie after having done all this.
Right.
I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to read it. I was holding off. I don't know why.
It's a quite long book for a young reader.
I think I just didn't want my experience of Harry Potter to be over.
You were savoring the flavor.
I was waiting. I was holding off. Yeah. So maybe not 7 years, but it was a while. And then I finally was like, I got to do it. And it was so good. It was so, so good. The book is good. It's very good. Strong.
I wish I had pushed through it. I read the first one in my 30s and I liked it, but I was like, it's just exactly the movie. And everyone was like, well, keep going. Some people even said, I think Jen said, like, just start with the third book. Like, she was like, just jump right in. You know from the movies, just jump right in. But it's just like, I can't do that. My OCD won't allow that.
No. Yeah, I mean, I think it's worthwhile to read them, but it's one of those things where it's actually kind of incredible. I mean, she's so vilified now, but she really is a very talented writer. And it's one of these things where the Sorcerer's Stone is a book that is written for like middle grade.
Right. It grows with the
and then
readers.
Like a couple books later, it's a YA book. Yeah, and then by Deathly Hallows, it's like a book for grown-ups.
Right.
It's incredible. It's really good. Right, it grows with the protagonist. Yeah.
Every time we've seen them all, but every time it says J.K. Rowling, we boo it.
Boo! Turf!
But anyway, going back to my
They should have
point,
a night of throwing Nerf at the turf. And they give you a bunch of Nerf balls. You just throw them at the screen when her name comes up.
Well, when we bought the first ticket, they were like, there was a thing like, do you want to donate to the Trevor Project? And I was like, ooh.
And that's also
Alamo.
A charity that Daniel Radcliffe is one of the faces of. He's a very big supporter of the Trevor Project.
But to bring us back to where I was going when we were talking about Nicolas Cage's Daniel Radcliffe.
Fantastic. I'm such a
fan. He's just like, you know what? And this is what Mark Hamill should have done. He's like, I'm just going to do only things I want. I'm not going to try to maintain any level of fame.
Harry Potter. Yeah.
I'm just going to do crazy shit.
He's so good.
He's fucking incredible.
He's so good. I'm such a fan of his post-Harry Potter career.
Be a great fucking Weird Al Yankovic.
Actor, right? Like, he's so funny. I love Miracle Workers.
People want
Workers,
him to be the new Wolverine.
Yeah. I haven't seen the last season of Miracle Workers, but
I've seen none of it.
Oh, I've seen all of it except this most recent season. And in it, it's like a Mad Max one. Every season is like a totally different theme.
That's so cool.
The same cast. And so it's like a, you know, end of days type thing. And he's shredded.
He is shredded.
He's crazy shredded. So, there's like a scene where they're like, he's known about the Wolverine rumors and he's talked about it on like late night shows. And he says very funny things about it. Like, he's like, well, you know, in the comics, Wolverine is short. So they're like, okay, short actor. He's short. He should be Wolverine. Right. But there's this scene where he like rips off his tank top and he's got his like fists out like this. And it looks like, you know, you could very easily put some claws on the end of those fists. Yeah. I was like, he knows what he's doing.
He fucking knows
what he's doing. That's his audition tape.
Yeah. I just love people who do whatever the fuck they want. Because in the end, they end up having the cooler career.
They have much cooler career. His career is so cool. He does all kinds of stuff. He does horror. He did Guns Akimbo. There's a gun.
Which I haven't seen, but I want to see that.
Looks so cool. Yeah,
and he's good.
He's good.
And when you watch the Harry Potter movies,
he's very not good in the beginning. And you see
him
acting skill grow.
Good.
He gets better
his
every movie.
His hair in the fourth movie is out of control.
The Goblet of Fire memes are the best memes of all because it'll be like hair on top of hair. The people yelling. Yeah, it's just Dumbledore being totally unhinged.
I love Michael Gambon. Is that his name?
Yeah, Michael Gambon.
I love him.
You love him as Dumbledore?
He is. And in my head canon is the reason he looks different from Richard Harris is because when Harry was younger, he seemed older. That's my head canon.
Wow. Okay.
But I love the way he plays him. He's so good. He's fantastic. He's incredible as Dumbledore.
He's bananas.
Yeah, he plays it so crazy. Anyway, all right. So
I think you need that energy though, because they make him 1,000 years old in like the first book, and he's really not doing much. He shows up and he's like, well, you know, sometimes people die. And
right. I think about like Richard Harris could not have done any of this.
No, in a cave climbing around. No, it's not going to happen. So they needed a more energetic
barely alive
guy.
Yeah. All right. So our last trailer is Totally Killer.
Yeah, it looks like fun.
This is a Blumhouse joint.
Blumhouse
coming straight to Netflix.
Prime.
Oh, is it, oh, coming straight to Prime.
Yeah.
Right.
Soon, October 6th.
Yeah. And who is it? It's the, what's her name?
Kiernan Shipka from Sabrina. Sabrina.
It she seems like she's sleepwalking through this role a little bit.
You know, she's doing her thing. She's making that money.
It's one of these like neo slashers.
Yeah. So she's going out for the night. Luckily dressed in a like a vintage fringe jacket. So, you know, she looks like it's the 80s.
Yeah.
And her mom is like, you know, this is a really difficult time for us. And she's like, Mom, you're like three friends got very insensitively and giving us a lot of backstory.
Yeah.
Like your three friends got killed on Halloween. I'm not hanging out with you or whatever. She's being like a real bitch to her mom.
And then.
And so she goes to like an abandoned carnival. I don't know. Sure. It's like totally empty. And then this scary killer shows up.
Yeah.
Tries to get her. She runs away, runs into a photo booth. I'm not sure what that is. The killer stabs the photo booth and like you do, it sends her back in
time travel.
Time travel. 1987, year I was born.
Yeah.
And
the year that her mother...
Her mother's friends were killed. Yeah. Was it Randall Park?
Yes, he's one of the cops.
He's one of the cops.
She meets her mom and her mom's a bitch.
Her mom's a bitch.
Actually, I laughed when she was like, she said something, Mom, and then she was like, what? She's like, Mamacita?
They're just like, huh? Yeah.
The mother's the killer, right? The mother or the father is the killer?
Gotta be.
Sure.
Gotta be.
Sure.
Because...
Gotta be.
It's gotta be. Like, the mom was the only one who knew where she was going. Yeah. Or, like, going out. Like, kill your own daughter. I mean, my goodness.
She's the only survivor
in the original. The mom is also an actor. Is like, someone of note. It's, was it Julie Bowen?
Yes.
From Modern Family. And many other things.
And why is she the only survivor of the original?
Why is she the only survivor of the original? Especially if they're all isolated in a cabin.
If we are correct,
that'd
be such a bummer because...
It would be a bummer.
Happy Death Day was another Blumhouse neo... I always want to say neo-noir, but it's not neo-slasher. And that was what if it was a slasher movie and Groundhog's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And the bummer of that movie was the killer was the most obvious. Like, there's like three characters. And like the main character... Her boyfriend and then like her shady fucking friend. And it's the shady friend's the killer? Who would have fucking thought?
Yeah.
So if they make the same mistake again, it's gotta be a bummer.
The second I watched the trailer, I was like, it's the mom. It's the mom. It's gotta be the mom.
Right.
You see, like, she's trying to tell the cops, like, there's going to be a murder tonight. It's my life is back to the future. Whatever. Since she goes with her mom to the ski trip or whatever it is, where they're going to be killed and is trying to prevent this tragedy from occurring. But I guess people die.
Yeah.
Because that one girl's like, I'm not giving you a blowjob. I don't, because that's where you pee from.
Yeah.
And then gets killed.
And then the other kid's like, you know, if she had given blowjobs, she'd be alive. And she's like, let's not make that.
That's not going to be the narrative.
Let's not make that the lesson of this.
Mm-mm.
I think it looks cute. I can't wait for it to come out.
It looks fun. I'd see it for sure.
I always belabor the same points, but then that's what happens when you do a podcast for over 300 episodes. But it's got that smell of it of like 10 years ago, you would have been a theatrical film.
Yeah.
Now you're not.
Yeah.
But whatever, I'll watch it. And I liked her. I liked the first season of Sabrina a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the first two. I forget when I stopped. Was it two or three that I was
two
like?
Two was crazy, but fun.
Two might have been where I stopped.
Okay.
At some point, I was like, this is...
She's doing her Sabrina thing, though. I mean, she kind of acts like that in Sabrina.
Yeah. She came back as Sabrina in Riverdale.
Yeah.
Which...
So I've heard.
I have never watched Riverdale. Actually, that's a lie. I watched the first episode and I hated it. And then I recently watched like a video essay about Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much crazier than I thought. Did you know that the last season was in the 50s? They all go back in time for the whole season. And it's just like a reboot of itself.
Weird.
Bananas. Anyway.
Weird.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
We'll come back with a chill shush.
All right. Let's do it.
Welcome back DPCMC. I'm Mike Bajoro. I'm here with Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
Janine, this is the chill session.
So chill.
Oh, let's just kick our feet up and chill.
I just want to chill. I want to chill back.
What have you been chilling with?
You've caught me at a very hectic time. It's a back to school. My kids are in two different schools.
You've been watching Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield?
I've been watching Back to School over and over again.
Hey, I'm down with it.
You're down with that. And so I've been watching virtually no like media for myself or for like adults.
Well, what are the kids watching? Right?
Well, that's what I'm going to tell you about. Mm-hmm. Luckily, the kids are very, very into Cuphead right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously not the game because it's extremely hard, but they're like insisting that Bill play the game. So Bill is getting like,
yes,
terribly frustrated, but occasionally winning, and they don't care that he's losing. They just want to watch him play over and over. But what they really love is the Netflix series Cuphead. When it first came out, we tried it. We didn't love it. We only got a couple episodes in. We were like, not really for us. And then, we just sort of forgot about it. Bill had been showing, because they like old cartoons. So Bill had been showing him like, oh, you know, Henry, there's a game that is like this, and showed him the game. And he's like, oh, there's also a cartoon on Netflix. Well, that's all he needed. We've watched the entire series now. And it's really grown on me. I actually do enjoy it.
Me too.
I like it. And I like the music. The character design is so cool.
It's all about Mugman.
No, Mugman. I mean, Mugman. It's all about Mugman. He's a real hero.
I so identify with Mugman, and when Cuphead's being a shitty, I'm like, fucking Cuphead.
I know, Cuphead's a little shit.
And I love the devil.
The devil's great.
One of my favorite devils in anything.
One of the better Christmas episodes of anything.
Today, I watched the episode where they go to get the tree.
Oh, okay. I was talking about the devil becoming Santa Claus.
When was that?
It's the last season.
Oh, so it's probably the next episode then.
Okay. So, it's such an original Christmas story where like the devil wants a Christmas present. So he goes to visit Santa, and Santa's like, oh, you really want to be good? Okay. And does like a ceremony. And it's not like where you've seen like where Santa's evil or Santa's just like one type of thing. It's one of the few shows or films that I've seen that really makes it feel like Santa is ancient.
Interesting.
But also he's the jolly fellow that we know from like Christmas cards. Interesting. And they hold the two truths there for you, which I find so interesting about it, because he does a ceremony, which is funny on its own, but there's like a lot of chanting, and he switches without it being jarring. It's like, this is a part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the elves are also part of the chanting and stuff, where they really feel like it's part of the magic. Like the elves are doing something besides making toys here. Like they're part of it.
Interesting.
And then, you know, it's the Santa Claus, but it's the devil.
Yeah.
Which is
I love the devil's henchman.
Oh, he's so sweet. My favorite is Dice King. I think he's just a great character design. I love it. I love Wayne Brady. Kala Maria is great too. The mermaid. She's played by Natasha Dimitriou. Fantastic.
Doing her thing.
She's doing her best thing. Yeah. And I like the Chalice backstory.
I was just going to say, how do you feel about Chalice?
Chalice, you know.
I don't think I've seen the backstory episode
yet. Oh, the backstory episode is interesting.
I'm almost done with season three. I'm like 4 or 5 left.
Yeah.
But I watched originally, and then like recently I went back to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like fresh in my mind too.
It clears up everything with the...
why she's a ghost?
Like why she's a ghost.
Okay.
Why she can pop into... She can be a human, she can, you know, be corporeal or a ghost. So it gets into that. But
I love when they do like spooky episodes.
Oh, Ghosts Ain't Real. Yeah. That's a great one.
It's so like those scary like Disney's like Skeleton Dance or Lonely Ghost.
Yeah.
And it's like, because I think those scary things are like a big part of the rubber hose aesthetic that they're going for.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the opening credits, they're like, when we got the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
I never skip the opening.
No.
Oh, it's incredible.
Me neither.
I'm always like, welcome to the commercial. Which is like, you know what? It should be called Cuphead. I know it's because of the game, but it should be called the Cupheaded Mugman Show.
Yeah. Because
fucking Mugman.
Mugman runs away with it. Mugman's great. Mugman. He's the hero we need.
I love Mugman. When they are, the episode where Mug, like, fucking Cuphead keeps tying rockets to shit.
Oh my God.
And Mugman's like, stop it. And then Mugman builds a cabin for himself and won't let Cuphead in. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
And then Elder Kettle.
I love Elder Kettle.
It's great.
I feel Elder Kettle. I am Elder Kettle.
Yeah, I get Elder Kettle. What was the one with the, was it like a baby? Or no, the mouse. The mouse.
Well, yeah, because there's the baby
episode. There's the baby one.
But then there's the mouse who like lives in their kitchen.
Yeah.
And they go to war.
Talk about cozy. That little house they live in.
Well, I love when they do like the exterior shots and it looks like it's made of clay. Like, yeah. It looks like it's real. And it's super cozy. I feel like it's based a lot on the animation for Snow White's cottage. A lot of the interior sort of looks like that.
Yes.
I love it. I just love it.
Yeah.
I love the little bunk room.
Yeah.
The little curtains. They're so cute. I love it. I love he says like, oh, when your handle falls off and then the handle fairy comes and you got a man handle. But really he glued it back on. Love it. Is he their father? I mean, he must be, right?
Elder Kettle.
But they just say, you're our Elder Kettle. Like, they never call him their
dad.
It's
a weird world that they live in.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people
and
are
they
cops.
Live in. They live in a Rubber Hose Animation because it's the Inkwell Isles.
Inkwell Isles, yeah. It's just off the coast, maybe 29 miles.
Yeah. So good. I've actually been doing this thing. I don't think I've talked about it on the show yet. I've been doing it for, like, months now. You know, I'm a big fan of Curate Your Life.
Okay.
And be not just curate your life, but be aware of your media consumption.
Okay.
So I realized there's a lot of animated stuff that I wanted to watch, but I didn't want to binge.
Mm.
You know, like Cuphead, I couldn't binge or whatever. Mm. So I decided that I would reinstate from my childhood Saturday morning cartoons, and now on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. I usually have four on my list.
Okay.
But I could watch multiple episodes of each one of the four. And I've already gone through a few full series. Mm-hmm. I went all the way through Kong Skull Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched all of season one of Superman. But I've been working through Cuphead.
Mm-hmm.
And working through Kid Cosmic, which is another Netflix animated series, which is really cool animation. And Adventure Time. I just started season two of Adventure Time.
Oh, what do you think of Adventure Time?
Good. But, you know, I can't, I don't know. I'm waiting for something, but I don't know what I'm waiting for because I feel like I've had so many conversations with people that are like, oh my God, it gets so intense and so crazy.
It does. It does.
And it's like, my brain can't even imagine it given where you start.
It does the Harry Potter thing.
Oh, okay.
It grows with the audience.
Okay.
So whereas like Finn has a real baby voice in like the first season, as his voice progresses, the storylines also become more intense.
Yeah. And I part of me is also very interested in that new spinoff.
Yeah, me too.
Because it looks like they
Fiona.
I've been enjoying Adventure Time a lot.
Do you have a favorite character? I've always been partial to the Ice King.
I like the Ice King a lot. I get it.
Marceline.
Yo, I have a theory because you know how like it's like a meme like goth girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
How like now this young generation Gen Z like they're like they want goth girlfriends now. Yeah. It's Marceline.
It's Marceline. That's why they
these
want
these kids
goth
grow
girlfriend.
Up and they see Marceline and she's cute and funny and bosses you around and but is also kind of nice to you but kind of mean to you and then you become an adult and that's what you want.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
I love all her clothes.
Love Marceline. She's incredible. And it just some of it's just so smart that she drinks the color red instead of blood. It's just so fucking brilliant. I just today watched the episode where she makes Finn her what do you call it? Her henchman, and he keeps thinking she's having him do bad things, but they're like not bad things. So fucking good.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah,
it gets really interesting towards the end. It's a show that rewards you for staying with it for because it goes on. It really goes on.
Yeah, there's a lot of it, right? There's a lot of it.
Cuphead. We're enjoying it. I mean, we finished it, but we're watching it again from the beginning.
That's awesome. It's cool your kids like it. Try Kid Cosmic. See how you feel about it.
Kid Cosmic. Okay. I'm gonna check it out.
You know, it's so weird because it's like Netflix things just... It's just like you spent money on this. We watched a Netflix movie today called We Have a Ghost.
Oh.
It was like... It was cute. We were saying like... 15 years ago, this would have been a Disney Channel original movie.
Okay.
It's... This family moves into a house and the house is haunted by a ghost played by David Harbour. and he's wearing a bowling shirt and he has like a comb over and he's like not a bad ghost.
Okay.
And just stuff happens. It was cute. And we were just like, I've never even fucking heard of this movie.
Yeah.
Like you made it. Like it's so weird. But what else have I been chilling with? Yeah, a lot of cartoons. Just last night I watched Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh,
first
original.
Time I ever watched it. Well, I should say when I'm chilling, this is something else I've been chilling with. I rewatched the Shudder documentary series Queer for Fear.
Oh, okay.
Which is a 4-part documentary with all queer commentators.
Okay.
And they're just talking about the history of horror and how it relates to queer themes. Yeah. And like... it's got some really cool people talking in it and stuff like that. And I'm trying to watch a lot of the things they talk about.
Okay.
So they talk about Creature from Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of guys with their shirts off in that movie.
Oh.
It's a very beefcakey movie.
Ooh.
Dracula's Daughter they talk about in that, which is, I'm going to see that soon, which I'm excited. Or the Cat People.
I've heard so much about Cat People. I know virtually nothing about it.
It's... Well, there's that famous jump scare with the bus. You've heard of that, right?
No.
It's pretty simple. Like, she's being kind of stalked, one of the characters, and then, like, she stands at the bus stop, and then the bus just comes in, and you just hear really loud, it sounds like a cat, and it's just, like, in whatever year it was that came out, people, like, died. It was it's like such an early jump scare.
Yeah.
But people read that as like the whole thing with Cat People is the main character, Irina. She comes from I forget where she comes from in the original movie. I also watched the remake, which is also crazy and pervy. She can't have sex. She's a virgin. And it's because if she has sex, she'll turn into a cat. like a panther and kill you.
What?
So and like her. She falls in love with this guy, but he like won't let him fuck her.
Mm-hmm.
And he sends her to a psychiatrist and they're like, you know, this is all in your head, blah, 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 blah. But it's so obviously like a queer metaphor. Cause she, like, she's like, I can't like she so doesn't care about her husband. And then there's like the big scene that they isolate in the documentary is there's a scene where, she's like at her engagement party and another, I guess, person who's a cat person sees her and says like, sister, sister. And the commentators were like, if you're a queer person, you know this moment of being clocked. And she's at this party for her bullshit sham marriage. And this other woman sees her.
Yeah.
And she's fucking seen. And so I've been just really...
Interesting.
So I've been trying to watch a lot of... I watched another kind of shitty movie called... Mary, Mary, Bloody Mary, which is it's a lesbian vampire movie, which is a ton of those.
Sure.
So yeah, I've been watching a lot of, you know, I always watch a lot of horror movies during spooky season.
Of course.
For some reason this year I've been kind of like not really watching the slashers, even though we're doing slashers for our Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of been counter programming by watching a lot of older stuff, a lot of black and white stuff. And,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. When it comes to like spooky season for you,
yeah.
Are there things that you watch with the kids that are like, oh, let's watch Over the Garden Wall or something?
We haven't done that with them yet. I actually still think it's going to be a little too scary for them. Like Cuphead has some, a little like slightly scary.
Sure, sure,
moments,
sure. Yeah, yeah.
But not to the level that Over the Garden Wall has. And I'm saying that as like Over the Garden Wall is very mild, but we're dealing with like very young children.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do it yet because I don't want them to be freaked out by it. And I've shown them some Gravity Falls and they were like, no.
Oh,
so
really?
I was like, okay, forget it. We're not doing this yet. I'm like, hold your horses, Janine. Calm down. There's time for this. So they like Cuphead and that's enough and they're having fun with it. But I've transitioned from like really horror focused. Like we used to try to, every year we attempted, every year we failed, but we'd always try to do like 31 horror movies, like try to do it. Never happened, but we would really be watching like a ton of horror. Now I've transitioned to more like cozy fall or like kid centric fall, or, like revisiting like, you know, kids movies, you know, fall kids movies and trying to make a list of those and movies that I haven't seen, to try to introduce them into those things. Cause really, if I'm watching a movie, it's, I'm watching it with them. So I have to really tailor the experience. I'm like, well, I'm going to try to make it fall themed now. Or, and they respond to that. I feel like at Christmas time, they're like, all right, it's Grinch season. Like, let's get out the Grinch movies. And they're already sort of,
have they listened to the Grinch episode of the podcast?
They've listened to it many times. So like, why so many sad words?
Sad words is the way to describe all podcasts. Sad words.
That's what you should have called Cuckoo Bananas.
Sad words. That's hilarious.
Since having children and knowing that I'm not going to go to the movies to see a horror movie, or probably not even get around to watching it, I'll see a trailer for a horror movie. Like when any Ari Aster movie came out, I was just like, boy, I can't wait to read the Wikipedia of this. Once the plot goes up on Wikipedia, I am reading it on the toilet bowl. You better believe it.
On the toilet bowl.
Right? Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So that's every horror movie lately. Like Talk to Me, which is also the name of a Don Cheadle movie that came out several years ago. So don't think that.
I haven't seen it yet, but it's supposed to be good.
Oh, I read the wiki of it. It sounds pretty good.
Fantastic.
Don't you worry.
I watch that stuff alone. So she'd be like, that's a You Alone movie. So like with her, like we watch Over the Garden Wall every year. We watch Hocus Pocus every year. We watch Casper.
Yeah.
Which is honestly the saddest movie ever made.
It's so sad. It's about a dead child.
He's describing dying of pneumonia. It's like, this is a children's movie.
Yeah. So Over the Garden Wall is one we'll watch every year, you know, with or without kids. Like we're watching it. Henry's a big fan of Hocus Pocus 2, doesn't really care for Hocus Pocus 1.
I see.
So we'll watch that. We will watch DTV Monster Hits.
Yes.
Watch it all the time. Watch it throughout the year, honestly.
So good.
So there's our stuff. Then we'll watch the shorts. Like we'll watch Lonesome Ghosts. We'll watch the Skeleton Dances. We'll watch...
Lonesome Ghosts is better with the Ghostbusters song over it.
It is. It really is. We have our things. We have our stuff lined up. I think we'll try to introduce a couple new things. Probably not Casper.
What's the scariest thing
Casper.
Your kids have watched?
Probably Cuphead. There's some like devil stuff in there. And, you know.
Marceline's. Have they ever watched that?
No, they never have.
Marceline makes really scary faces.
Yes, she does.
Which is funny.
She does. They'll do like Hotel Transylvania. Right.
Okay. Yeah,
they'll do like the Addams Family animated movie.
I enjoy those.
I tried
the first
show
one.
Them.
Actually, I enjoy the first one.
It's not bad. We watched the first one together. What will I show them? Let's see. I'm not going to show them Haunted Mansion, the new one. I'll probably show them the old Haunted Mansion because that one wasn't so bad in terms of scares.
The new one's, I'd say, on par with it.
Is it really? Yeah. Okay.
But you know, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know.
The director of the new Haunted Mansion is on Queer for Fear.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah, which makes me want to watch it because I didn't know that he was gay until I saw that. So I was like, I want to go back and watch Haunted Mansion and see if I sense any of that.
Yeah. The scariest thing they like is probably Nightmare Before Christmas. They love it.
Okay.
They love it.
That's cool.
And they also like, you know, Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. Like, you know, they like all that stuff.
That's cute. Yeah. That's cute. I just bought a tumbler from... Home Goods.
Mm-hmm.
That's it's like a Peanuts Halloween.
Oh, okay.
Tumblr. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's the time. It's the season. It's the time of year.
Tis the season. Most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah,
that's right. And it's such a brief season.
Yes. You know?
Because you really can't do it in September. You can't be like a Christmas person where like some people are like November 1st, Christmas season begins.
I kind of do a little bit.
Like you can't really do it like August 30th or like in August like Disney does.
Well, it's hard to be when you're sweating your balls
it's
off.
It's so hard to be.
It's hard to be
in
that
moment
mood.
In the season.
But this week has been very chilly.
But I was telling Anthony, I was like, you know, it's fall. you know we're going to get like another 85.
Oh, yeah. It's Fool's Fall for sure.
Fool's Fall. I love yeah. that. But I do enjoy this weather so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a brief season, so I hold it dearly, and I do love it. I try to jam pack my fall with, you know, all kinds of
activities. Yeah, like we're going away.
Oh yeah, what are you gonna do?
We're going to the Poconos.
Okay.
When are we going? We're going from October 26th to October
29th. Ooh.
We're going on a haunted tour.
Okay.
First of all, we're staying like a cute little bed and breakfast, this mm-hmm. little cottage. We're bringing Peach.
Aw.
Peach is also coming with us on the haunted tour. We checked. They allow it. She has a carriage now that we roll her around in.
Carriage.
Yes. She loves a carriage.
My goodness. Loves a carriage ride. Horse-drawn, preferably. Yes.
And then we're going to some manor is having like so it's like a historic house, but mm-hmm. they're doing an Edgar Allan Poe reading.
Ooh.
We're doing that. And then there's the downtown area that has like really nice decorations, and we're gonna go shopping there.
Mm.
And then there's like another ghost thing we're gonna do. Okay. But we're waiting to watch Overgarden Wall when we're there.
Oh, okay.
It's totally a spooky, cozy.
You're gonna wake
vacation.
Up and all the whole town's gonna be turkeys.
Oh, please. Mm-hmm. My dreams. trying to find this quote I saw that like was like, the fuck was it? Whenever you want to find something like on the internet, mm-mm. you'll never ever see it again.
No.
Yeah. No, it doesn't matter.
All right.
It was a quote about fall. It was like very succinct, very like, yeah. And it was about how like you come alive, but it's just so funny because fall is death.
Fall is death. Yeah,
it's the beginning of death. Yet for certain people, mm-hmm. it feels like, and I think part of that's from going back to school as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a beginning more than an end.
Yeah,
yeah. I fucking love fall. I love it so goddamn much. Well, and I always look forward to doing our Halloween episodes mm-hmm. like that.
Well, me too. I know. I do feel, you know, because so much happens now. Like it's just. Just a race to the new year, right? At this point, because we go back to school, then it's Halloween, then it's Thanksgiving, right. Then it's, you know, it's like the Christmas holidays are coming, and then it's a new year. It's like it's so busy. Everything's so busy. All the weekends are so busy.
Right, 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 right. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to do.
Mm-hmm. We're probably going to go to Storybook Land and do like a Halloween
Where's that?
Weekend. It's... let's say it's in South Jersey. It's probably like a half hour, maybe less, from Atlantic City, but like my mom has a place on the Jersey Shore, so mm-hmm. it's like a good, if we go there and like spend the night, then we can just drive out to Storybook Land. And they do it's like an old school theme park. Like it's got like Humpty Dumpty and Mother Cute. Goose and they do like Halloween stuff. They'll decorate for Halloween, so we'll probably do that.
That's cute. I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, I mean it's a small place. And I've had some friends go there and they say it's great, and I just want to get there once before the boys
you've never been.
I haven't been. We were supposed to go for over spring break, but Henry broke his arm, so we couldn't go on any rides, so we were like, forget it, we're not gonna torture him.
Yeah. Do the kids like the fall?
They do. They love the fall. They like the falling leaves. They keep trying to bring them into the house.
Do they like summer though?
They love summer. They love everything. They love winter. They love
kids
spring.
Love summer. That's the thing. I don't like summer.
I'm not a huge fan. I was less of a fan before I had kids. Now I like it better because they love it. But, you know, I'm still hot.
It's hot.
I don't want to be outside.
And it's just like it's look. Fall was a thinking man's season, and you know, summer's for the it's for the naked pretty people.
It's the immature. It's the underdeveloped. It's the it's the child. It's the child in us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
Yet I feel like the way I enjoy the holidays is very childish.
Yeah.
You know, my child comes out. It's not child. No, it's like teenager. It's a teenager mm-hmm. holiday. It's a teenager season. And I'm so not a teenager. And I detest teenagers. I don't want anything to do with them. I cross the street if I see them coming. I'm like, oh, God, it's teenagers.
Oh, man. I see the allure, though, for them now, especially because they were back to school. It's like, oh, you didn't have wake up times and you didn't have bedtimes really.
Oh yeah, right.
Free for all.
Sure, yeah.
Even at this young age, you know, we're not trying to like keep them. They up get all
to
feel. Night,
they get to be their they get feral looser. Selves.
Like it's loose.
Yeah, they I get mean, weird.
They get kids real get, weird.
By August, kids are weird.
Yeah, everyone was saying the same thing. Like all my friends are our parents. Like about 2 weeks before school started, we're like, they gotta go back.
Yeah,
they gotta go. They're getting too crazy. They're just, they have to go back. They need the rules. And the first, well, now we're at the end of the second week, but like I've noticed Henry's behavior at home has gotten much worse since school started.
Really?
And we were like, what's going on? And he's like, I can do anything I want.
Pardon?
Like, excuse me? Not in this house, you can't. And I've noticed it's such a rebellion because all of a sudden now he has to stand in line and he has to sit in the same desk all day and he has to do, you know, X, Y, Z. And he can't do what he wants to do. And he is acting out at home. He's like, I can do whatever I want here. This is my space. And I'm like, Henry, I'm so glad you feel comfortable at home. And this is your home too. Like, I never want to be like, you're under my roof and this door belongs to me. So I can keep it open. Right. You know, I want him to feel like this is his space as well. I chose to bring him into this space. So I should allow him to, you know, be free here.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you can't do everything you want.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There's no place where we could do anything.
There's no place we could do everything we want. You're five also. So you got to take it down a few notches. You're not at school, but
you're right.
You're also not in the zoo. So please stop.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back with obsessions. Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by Janine Gagliardi. Janine, this is Current Obsessions. What are you currently obsessed with that you would like to let our listeners, maybe they want to get obsessed with it too?
I'm currently obsessed with, I mean, I think the whole nation is obsessed with Olivia Rodrigo's album Guts.
Okay.
Absolutely loving it. Front to back, so good. I liked her first album, Sour, but I probably never even listened to the whole thing. Like, I like the singles. I thought it was pretty interesting. You know, I like pop, so I thought it was good.
Yeah.
She is not in a sophomore slump. It is.
Really?
It is even better. Like,
why? What's happening?
The songs are just strong. They're really good. I said it. So Henry's like obsessed with the album as well, so we've been listening to it a lot.
Yeah.
That usually dictates like what pop culture is occurring.
Sure.
But I was telling Bill, he's like, you know, he was talking about like all the musical influences with Guts. Because Guts sounds like a pop star doing Beck, doing Pavement, doing like all these like all these bands, doing The Cure. It's just so good. And lyrically she's really strong. I like her voice. I think she's a good singer. And I was showing Henry some songs from the older album, Sour, and then I came home and I was like, Sour's a virgin album. Sour's an album for virgins. Whoa. Like, Sour is an album made by a virgin. I don't know about her love life, but that's the tenor of the songs on Sour. Those are virgin songs. This is someone who's now had sex. Guts is an album where it's like, she's a cat person now, okay? She's lived her life. Now she's got some experience. It's like Songs of Innocence, Songs of Experience.
Yeah.
That's Guts. So, you know, I'm proud of her. She's a woman.
Do you really feel pride? Because it's just funny you say that, because I do. I'm so fucking old that I do sometimes, like, young artists.
I love young artists. I'm proud of them. I truly feel pride for them, even though obviously I don't know them. But I'm like, I'm proud that there is a pop star doing this.
Right? Yeah.
Giving voice to these things. I'm always thinking of, like, all the girls who must look up to them. And not necessarily like, oh, they're such a role model. But they are, in a way. In the sense that it's like, you can, you know, put these feelings out there. You can question these things. And I think she's also very smart because in an interview with Phoebe Bridgers, she was talking about how, and she's like, I think she's 20 now, but she made the album when she was 19. Mm. And she was saying how with her first album, she's like, I felt like I had so much to say. And like this one, I was feeling really like sort of creatively blocked because I became super famous overnight. And now I'm like with celebrities and like rich and famous and like what lyrically, like how are people going to relate to any of this? And then she's like, so I tried to like reframe any problem that I'd been having, whether it was like with paparazzi or like whatever, as just like a regular problem. And like, how is this a one-to-one with like something regular, like a regular teen would go through? And then wrote the songs through that lens. And I think it's successful. I think it's effective.
What's the best song?
Oh, Pretty Isn't Pretty is like a Cure song. And I'm like such a sucker for that like post-punk music. Mm-hmm. So I adore that song. But let's see. Ballad of the Homeschool Girl is really good. And then Vampire, her lead single, Vampire, is excellent. And it's sort of like being taken advantage of by an older man is what the song is about.
Interesting.
It's interesting. And also musically, I was listening, well, Bill was actually listening to this podcast where they were like breaking it down, like musically what's happening. And it goes from being like a ballad to like very like rock at the end. And they're like, the end is the monster winning. Like the end musically is like dun, 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 like where it's like the vampire won, like the vampire.
Wow.
Like you follow the journey and it's like he's sinking his teeth in at the end. It's like, it's great. It's a very cool journey of a song. I love it. Yeah. But I actually, what am I saying? Bad Idea, Right? Bad Idea, Right? That's my favorite. It's great. So she's like, the narrative is she's out at a party. She's drunk. Mm-hmm. She gets a text from a guy she hasn't talked to in months. And she's sensing an undertone, she says. And then the chorus is like, seeing you tonight, it's a bad idea, right? And then she says that over and over then. And then she goes, fuck it, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, yes, I know that he's my ex. It's just great. Mm-hmm. It's just like being young and just doing stupid stuff because you're 19 and you're going to, you know, you're just going to have fun. It's fun. So, yeah, that's a really good song. This is full of bangers. I would say no skips. I love it.
No skips.
If you ask Peter, skips. He screams, skip! Like, really? There are songs he does. He hates Vampire.
He's a virgin.
He's a virgin.
You don't know.
Yeah. Harry? I don't know. I don't know what he's been up to. I worry about him.
He doesn't like Vampire?
No, he loves Vampire. Oh, okay. Henry loves Vampire. Yeah, so it's a good album. Very, very good. And it's what I've been listening to like literally every day because kids, you know, all summer.
A true obsession.
What's wonderful is, you know, it is sort of it's funny. Her like color is purple. So like the album cover for Sour was a purple background. Uh-huh. The album cover for Guts is a purple background. So it's like all summer long, we listened to the Barbie movie soundtrack. Yeah, like sure. That was our thing. And that was pink. And now we've moved into purple. And it feels like a good like summer to fall transition.
Interesting.
And like the songs are a little heavier thematically. Yeah. I'm like, okay, we've made the summer to fall transition musically in our car on the way to school.
Nice. So
yeah, that's what we've been doing.
Very nice. My current obsession is a book I just finished. It's called A Convenient Parallel Dimension, How Ghostbusters Slimed Us Forever.
Oh.
Written by James Green. It is a history of the Ghostbusters from, starts with like the childhoods of all the Ghostbusters and the director to like the movie, every movie, the cartoon, everything. And I learned things that I did not know about Ghostbusters. And it's not an officially licensed thing because it is scandalous. It celebrates Ghostbusters, but at the same time, it doesn't hold back on. It's sleazy almost. It's almost, some of it's almost tabloid like, but I believe everything.
Wow.
What
are the sources for these things?
Usually, I mean, a lot of it's an oral history, so a lot of it. But no, there are sources. There's a lot of written sources in the back and stuff. I'm trying to think of good ones. Well, the hardest one for me to deal with is how bad a person Bill Murray is.
Oh,
but
he seems like a bad always, person. Yeah,
but like not like at a certain like always like even in the first movie, like he was like literally like you can't look him in the eye, you get fired, like terrible. And then, like, spousal abuse. He's, like, a really, truly terrible person.
He seems like a real piece of shit.
I
mean, I don't know. I remember, like, back when he did Charlie's Angels, like, Lucy Liu, she was so taken aback by it. I remember her saying, like, and now he's talking, like, he's saying all this, like, horrible stuff, and he's in my eye line. And I'm like, she's like, I literally did, like, one of the look over the shoulder, like, is he talking to me? Like, what? Because it came so out of the blue. Right. She had, like, no idea what she had done, even, that he was talking to her like this. So apparently she got into it with him, and good for her.
Yeah, and that
and he didn't come back.
And that whole stupid thing, that whole thing was, like, a misunderstanding, because he thought that she did something that someone else did. He bullies people, and he is a very angry person. Very fucked up person. What other good stuff? Oh, in the song, the girls that go Ghostbusters, those are all underage girls that are not credited.
Oh,
they recorded that before school one day. Ray Parker Jr. was fucking one of them.
Oh my god!
Yeah, he was fucking an underage girl.
Wonderful.
And he had them come in, and he says, "I don't credit them because they're." He has some insane excuses, like, they're not part of the song. It's a call and response. It's like, but it isn't live. Like, it is part of the song.
Yeah,
you fucking psycho.
Down in the basement.
Yeah,
what's going on?
Also, like. They interview other people that tried to do Ghostbusters songs.
Yeah.
And they were like, they told us to do it like, because they had edited the movie to I Want a New Drug by Huey Lewis News.
Yeah.
And it was like, they told us to do it like it. I didn't realize they just wanted us to copy it. Like I heard, we eventually heard the Ghostbusters song that Ray Parker Jr. like, oh, you want us to just straight up copy it, which is hilarious. A lot of weird, a lot of lawsuits. There was that. There was, I believe, Sigourney Weaver sued because she wasn't paid money that she was owed.
Oh.
The creator of Casper sued them because they said that the ghost and the ghost symbol looked like Fatso.
Okay.
And then fucking Dan Aykroyd is in the Casper movie fighting Fatso.
Who are you going to call? Someone else.
Yeah.
Wimp. Went out like a punk.
Yeah. So a lot of interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But most of the other three seem nice.
All right.
I mean, not perfect, but there is one. I wish this thing existed. When they were doing they were recording the Ghostbusters video game. Harold Ramis was recording when Bill Murray I think he just he was supposed to show up somewhere and he didn't, and he went off on a rant and they recorded it. And he's just a 20-minute rant of how much of an asshole Bill Murray is and always has been.
Oh my god.
And just Harold Ramis just a fucking blue streak.
Wow. Ugh,
what I would do to hear that.
Oh my god.
What I would do to hear that.
What's so funny is because there's that heartwarming story of when Harold Ramis was dying.
Yeah.
Bill Murray didn't know where he lived and went to the chief of police in his town, was like, take me to Harold Ramis's house, to say goodbye. I'm like, could you imagine hating this fucking guy and seeing him drive up to your house when you're on your deathbed and you're going to deal with this prick?
Well, yeah. They were friends once upon a time.
They were, I guess.
It's, Bill Murray's a very damaged person. But yeah, it was a very interesting book. The thing, as a Ghostbusters fan, the most interesting thing were script things that I never heard.
Okay.
Versions that I didn't know.
Yeah.
An early version had Sigourney Weaver and Rick Moranis' characters were aliens. They were not even real humans.
Oh, weird.
Weird shit like that. So it was an interesting book.
I like that in recent years, the Rick Moranis costume has taken off. With the colander on his head.
Oh, yeah.
I you see more of those out in the wild.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my current obsession.
All right.
And we did it. We did a fully.
We did a fully.
Always good to get a fully out of your system.
Yeah. You got to get it.
You got to feel.
Got to crank one out.
Feel roomy. After. This has been PCMC. PCMC stands for Pop Culture Man Children. This is a podcast that comes out every Wednesday, and it is about media, culture, and the stuff you love, and Cuphead.
And apparently. Cuphead, yeah.
Welcome to the show. Janine, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
We end every episode.
Go bye-bye.